This is Free Thought Radio with co-hosts Dan Barker and Annie Laurie Gaylor. Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews.
Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try.
Happy Winter Solstice Weekend and Reason's Greetings. I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor, and this is Free Thought Radio, offering slightly irreverent views, news, music, and interviews. And Free Thought Radio is the weekly production of the Freedom From Religion Foundation.
And I'm Dan Barker, your friendly neighborhood atheist. This is the weekend of December the 24th and 25th, 2011, and the winter solstice was just a couple days ago. Free Thought Radio broadcast in Madison, Wisconsin.
And we want to give a friendly shout out to listeners in Atlanta, Grand Rapids, Monterey, and New York City.
And a warm hello to our faithful, faithless podcast listeners. Free Thought Radio is a production of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, which is a state church watchdog. We've been especially busy this time of year. We are the nation's largest association of agnostics, atheists, and other skeptics. We don't care what we call ourselves, but as we like to say, we all disbelieve in the same gods.
And we do dedicate this broadcast to Christopher Hitchens, the provocateur, the author, the journalist, author of God Is Not Great, who lived and died an atheist. He died December 15th at age 62, way too young. You may remember his infamous farewell words to Jerry Falwell. Shall we play those, Dave? I think we want to.
The carcass of Jerry Falwell was found unraptured. And I was able to say, though they tried to bleep it, that had he been given an enema, he could have been buried in a matchbox.
That was when he said that a couple of times. He said that at our conference there in 2007. We'll hear more of that speech in a moment. In Hitchens' memory, we'll play an excerpt of his Emperor Has No Clothes acceptance speech.
For something fun, you may have seen FFRF's full page color Reason's Greetings advertisement in the front section Thursday of the New York Times, the winter solstice, and our ad sent Reason's Greetings. We had a huge headline saying Reason's Greetings, and Dan, we thought it would be nice to use your words, your rewrite of the words to Little Town of Bethlehem. It's a poem called Solstice Tribute. Could you read that?
O shining star of solstice time, your radiant hours are few. You turn and strike the New Year's chime, we owe our lives to you. These darkest days of winter, we miss your warming rays. But every year, this hemisphere returns to brighter days. Since olden days, the human race has feared your warmth would die. The evergreen is ever seen as hope we will survive. O ancient drums, stop beating and superstitions fall. It's time for Reason's Greetings, for peace, goodwill to all.
And speaking of the winter solstice, we got some coverage of our anti-creche, our natural nativity scene, placed to protest a nativity scene in the Wisconsin State Capitol. And this is the local Madison, Wisconsin CBS affiliate.
Well, a baby girl in a manger, three wise people, and Venus as Mary.
It's all part of an alternative nativity scene at the state capitol. News3's Andy Choi joins us now with details. Andy.
Sarah and Eric, it's in response to the traditional Christian nativity on display from Wisconsin Family Action at the Capitol. Aside from the manger, this is not your typical nativity. Charles Darwin, Albert Einstein, and Mark Twain make up the three wise people. The angels in the scene include the Statue of Liberty and an astronaut. Folks at the Freedom From Religion Foundation say their reason for the season is to celebrate the winter solstice.
It's not intended to be offensive. There may be Christians who consider it blasphemous. That's not why we did it. It's representing our point of view, and we're honoring real people and real things.
The group has asked Capitol Police for extra security around its display in case of damage or theft. The Freedom From Religion says in celebrating the winter solstice, it is, quote, celebrating reality.
All right, Andy Choi. Thank you, Andy.
You're welcome.
On to other news and on to FFRF's fight back against the war against the Constitution. The religious right is always launching a war against the separation between church and state, but never more so than the month of December.
No, it's not a war on Christmas. Our staff have been very busy dealing with nativity scene violations at this time of year. And we have an important victory to announce in our complaint over a half-century violation in Elwood City, Pennsylvania. You may recall that the Freedom From Religion Foundation asked the town to either remove the nativity from the entrance of City Hall or allow us to place our winter solstice banner there. The mayor did invite us to put up a display. The town borough invited us to mail the banner and promised to put it on the agenda, but then the mayor said he'd never allow that banner, and the borough didn't even vote on it. But Monday night this last week, reason prevailed.
Ground after an anti-religion group wanted them to move a nativity scene from the place where it had stood for decades. But now leaders in Elwood City say they're going to move that nativity after all. Mary Rob Jackson explains.
Baby Jesus.
Constitutional law isn't much on the mind of 3-year-old Xavier, who stopped by the manger on the Elwood City Municipal Building's front lawn to offer a bite of his carrot. Earlier this month, 500 or more protesters turned out after the Wisconsin-based Freedom From Religion Foundation threatened legal action if the creche remained on public property.
I can tell you this, I'll not back down.
That was Mayor Anthony Court determined not to budge. The nativity display was surrounded by secular and other symbols of the season to bring it more in line with Supreme Court rulings.
But limited borough funds and fears of lengthy litigation prompted council to vote 4-2 last night to keep the creche where it is this year, but then to move it in 2012 to a far less controversial spot.
Well, my stance hasn't changed.
Mayor Court isn't happy, but says council was offered only two options.
Meaning one to put their banner up or to move the nativity scene. Council opted to move the nativity scene.
The banner proposed by the anti-religious group reads, quote, "There are no gods, no devils, no heaven or hell. Religion is but a myth and superstition that hardens hearts and enslaves minds."
Annie Laurie Gaylor, president of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, told me in a phone call that they never intended to ban the nativity scene, only get it off public property, that they're very pleased that their concerns have been met and that reason and the Constitution have prevailed. In Elwood City, Mary Rob Jackson, KDKA TV News.
Now, reason has not prevailed in another constitutional skirmish, and that one taking place in Warren, Michigan. This week, the Freedom From Religion Foundation, with the help of a pro bono firm in Michigan, has planned to file suit against Mayor Fotes of Warren, Michigan. Now, as we're recording this a little early, it hasn't been filed yet, but we're going to play some coverage out of Fox TV out of Detroit that gives the lead up to our lawsuit.
Tis the season to debate the separation of church and state. Of course, you know, there are Christmas decorations in public parks and some city buildings. But now a local atheist wants to make his non-belief part of a holiday display. Fox News International live right now in Warren, where the man says he is being censored by the mayor. Taryn.
Yeah, that's right. He says if the mayor in Warren is going to have one belief in the middle of City Hall, then he needs to represent all beliefs, or in this case, non-beliefs. It's a season dominated by glowing Christmas trees, jolly old Saint Nick, and holy nativity scenes.
I'm an atheist.
Offensive to this man, not the holiday itself, he says, just the fact that it's front and center at Warren City Hall. Personal beliefs in the middle of a public square.
If a person wants to express their beliefs in their home, in their church, they're more than welcome to. But in the public square, which I'm paying for with my taxes, there should be no belief systems.
Douglas Marshall is a member of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, a group 17,000 strong nationwide. But Marshall is in the middle of a one-man battle with Warren's mayor, Jim Fouts, fighting to put his sign right next to the nativity scene.
Originally, he ignored it. Actually, he is still ignoring it.
The sign reads, at this season of winter solstice, let reason prevail. There are no gods, no devils, no angels, no heaven or hell. Religion is but a myth and superstition that hardens hearts and enslaves minds.
By putting your sign up next to the nativity scene, aren't you imposing your beliefs?
If they're going to have one belief on the city square, all beliefs should be allowed placed on the city square.
I think he has a right to put it up here next to the nativity scene?
He has every right. He wants to do it. This is what his belief is, but he can't force me to believe it, and I can't make him believe what I want to believe.
Do what you want to do. It's a city building, and you're supposed to have no religious thing on the government site, so.
Well, I don't believe what he said, so.
Do you think he should be able to put it up at the...
No. Because that's his opinion, maybe not everybody's opinion.
Bottom line, by excluding all viewpoints, Marshall and his group claim Mayor Fouts is discriminating and engaging in unlawful censorship.
Anybody can celebrate anything that they want, you know, but it does not belong on public property.
Mr. Marshall had to take that sign out because he does not have permission, as we mentioned, and he still hasn't heard back from the mayor. Either have we. His secretary, Mayor Fouts' secretary, telling us that he should have a statement available within the next couple of days. In the meantime, we're told by the co-president of the Freedom from Religion Foundation that they plan to file a lawsuit in the next couple of days. Reporting live in Warren tonight, Taryn Asher, Fox 2 News.
We want to send kudos to our member, Douglas Marshall, who's been trying for weeks to get some answer out of the mayor. They have allowed a private group to put up a nativity. They are engaging in blatant viewpoint government censorship of our sign. We are planning to go to court on December 21st. We got this ridiculous letter from the mayor. Why don't you read some choice passages, Dan?
In the letter, the mayor says, "Your phrase that religion is but myth and superstition is highly offensive and is not a provable statement. Likewise, your statement that there are no gods and no angels is also not provable." The mayor goes on to say, "If you requested permission to put up a board saying there's no Santa Claus, you'd be met with the same response. Santa lives in the minds and hearts of millions of children. The belief of God and religion lives in the hearts and minds of hundreds of millions of people, as much a part of the fabric of America as the belief in democracy and freedom. Thus, I cannot and will not sanction the desecration of religion in the Warren City Hall atrium."
And we just have to point out, of course, that the idea that there was a baby Jesus who's a savior and the God is not provable, is it, Dan? And I thought it was really cute that he was comparing belief in a God to belief in Santa. After all, does Santa exist?
But here he is admitting that he's disallowing our sign because of the religious content of it, which is unconstitutional.
Yes. So we'll have more about the religious war against the Constitution taking place in Texas on segment two, and then stay tuned for 10 minutes of Unbridled Christopher Hitchens.
This is Free Thought Radio with your hosts, Dan Barker and Annie Laurie Gaylor.
And I'm Dan Barker.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor. We are co-directors of the Freedom from Religion Foundation. And maybe over this long weekend, you'll have a chance to join FFRF. You can go to FFRF.org and make a tax-deductible contribution or join as a member and help our 501c educational charity keep religion out of government and promote rationalism and non-theism.
So what about Texas, Henderson County,
well,
Texas?
That is the biggie. And that has, our phones have been busy for 2 weeks, mostly with harassing phone calls out of Texas. And this is coverage about our complaint about a nativity scene violation in Henderson County, which is in a small town called Athens, Texas, of 12,000. And this is, I think, Austin TV.
For several years now, this nativity scene has been set up outside the Henderson County Courthouse in North Texas. This year, a national organization is objecting to the nativity scene being on government property, and they demand that it be removed.
And now the Texas Attorney General is getting involved. Fox 7's Lauren Petrosky joining us now with the story. Lauren?
Well, this organization, the Freedom from Religion Foundation, claims that the nativity scene sends an intimidating message to non-Christians in the area. It's located in Athens, northeast of Austin, in Henderson County. But this fight is getting attention from state officials here in Austin.
It's this nativity scene, set up on the grounds of the Henderson County Courthouse, that has people talking.
I love going by a nativity scene because it's a constant reminder in a season when we get so busy.
And what is so offensive about a baby in a manger?
But apparently someone did find it offensive. An organization out of Wisconsin, the Freedom From Religion Foundation, is demanding it be removed after getting a complaint.
That Christianity was being promoted and endorsed and preferred by their local government. And this made them feel very unwelcome. It sends a message of intimidation and exclusion toward non-Christians and non-believers at this time of year.
But if the foundation tries to take legal action, Texas Attorney General Greg Abbott will lend his support to the county.
I want to make sure that local governmental bodies like Henderson County will not be bullied by an atheist organization from Wisconsin into forcing them to remove this nativity scene.
He says the scene is perfectly legal.
Generally, what the principle is as long as the public is not coerced into either forcing them to support or participate in the display or anything religious, the display is perfectly fine.
But Jim Harrington with the Texas Civil Rights Project believes Henderson County officials are pushing the envelope.
You can't have a standalone nativity scene on government property. Because then it's interpreted as the government establishing and supporting a particular religious belief.
There are other holiday-related displays set up outside the courthouse, but on different corners.
They might want to consider redesigning their display and avoid the litigation.
A Henderson County judge says the nativity scene will stay put.
And residents there have started a petition to keep the nativity scene set up. Peter Dowd from our sister station in Dallas was in Athens today. And Peter, we understand this nativity scene getting a lot of support from people out there.
Yeah, that's right, Lauren. And as you can imagine, this is a very small town, only about 13,000 people in the town of Athens. And, you know, they're telling me that this is going to have about 1,500 people tomorrow at their rally for the nativity.
Now, actually, we were told in various news media reported 5,000 people showed up in a town of 12 or 13,000.
Boy, we know how to draw a crowd, don't we?
And I'm assuming there was a mega church or two that got involved from Dallas to get that kind of crowd. Can you imagine?
And I now, saw footage. It was people to people, that whole downtown.
So, hey, I guess that's a certain kind of power. But not only did the attorney general get involved, but now Rick Perry. And you can see FFRF's letter to the attorney general on our website. Go to news and read our news releases for the last 2 weeks. You won't be, you'll be amazed at everything else we've been involved in the last couple of weeks.
They're actually talking about us on the floor of the House. Representative Lewis Gohmert from Texas mentioned our group on the floor this last week.
These liberties are not to be violated, but with his wrath. I know that in the county right next to my home county, there are people, a group, Freedom From Religion, that is doing all they can to have a nativity scene removed.
We never called the Christians a hate group, but that's what they're painting us as. Another representative from Texas, Ted Poe, had some things to say about our group on the floor of the House this week.
Mr. Speaker, in the piney woods of East Texas, the small town of Athens is getting ready for the holidays. A group of local volunteers has placed a nativity scene on the far corner of the courthouse square. But a group of out-of-towners from 1,000 miles away in Wisconsin have self-righteously objected to the nativity scene. The anti-religious hate group demands baby Jesus be evicted from the courthouse lawn. The county officials don't appear to be succumbing to the intimidation tactics of the bigoted group that wants to censor religion. Quote, "We will remove the nativity scene when hell freezes over."
We do have a formal complaint asking to be put on the agenda to put up our banner next week, so we are not over with that one yet. Now, what's coming up, Dan?
Stay tuned. We're going to hear a little bit of the inimitable Christopher Hitchens.
And what is this? This is from his speech.
From his acceptance speech of the Emperor Has No Clothes Award.
In 2007, given in Madison, Wisconsin. And so we can remember him by his words, his books, and we hope you'll enjoy this excerpt.
Ask for a sample issue of Free Thought today and find out more about the Freedom From Religion Foundation at ffrf.org. or phone 1-800-335-4021. This is Free Thought Radio.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor.
And I'm Dan Barker. Life goes on without a hitch. Christopher Hitchens died just earlier this month. And although we atheists don't believe in life after death, we do think there is a kind of afterlife, not in a soul or spirit, but in the minds and the memories of those who remain and in the lingering effects of the deeds you have done. So just like when Bertrand Russell died, he still lives on in our minds. Christopher Hitchens will live on. And we have an excerpt of a speech that he gave at our conference right here in Madison, Wisconsin in 2007 when he was accepting our Emperor Has No Clothes Award for his book, God Is Not Great. Let's listen to a little bit of Christopher Hitchens.
I might give you a brief report on the campaign trail, on the swing through the areas of piety. I don't ever claim to feel or detect the finger of the divine, certainly not in my own arrangements. But I guess it was lucky that in the first week, as I was in North Carolina, the carcass of Jerry Falwell was found unraptured, slumped on the floor of the mediocre degree mill of an office in Virginia. And I was able to say, though they tried to bleep it on, I think it was Hannity and Colmes, that had he been given an enema, he could have been buried in a matchbox. So good are things these days with YouTube and other things my children can do and I cannot, that apparently I was lip-read saying that, even though they bleeped it out. So it got said on the air anyway. So let's not say that all the victories are to the wicked side. But I didn't expect that by the end of the summer there would have been a bunch of letters published by the late woman arrogantly calling herself Mother Teresa, Agnes Bojashu, elderly virgin of Macedonia, inflicting her hideous doctrines on the wretched of Bengal, saying that she couldn't believe a word of it either. I mean, I didn't think she was one of us too, and look, let's be charitable. Let's welcome the old bag before it's too late. If she can't bring herself to believe it, and if all her confessors can do is to say that the suffering that results gives her a share in crucifixion, then let's, for heaven's sake, extend the hand of compassion to her ourselves. Now, here's what I've learned on this process of debate and engagement with the faithful, where I don't want to sound conceited, but I have now taken on all the comers they suggest. I don't nominate their side. I don't nominate their team. And no one yet has said that I've lost one. It's the furthest I ought to go in fairness. But here's what I've learned. I've learned not to say some things that used to irritate me. I don't say, for example, why do they never come up with any new arguments? As I heard myself saying after a debate with a theologian the other night in Georgetown, well, they can't come up with any new arguments, can they? They're stuck, if you like, with the old arguments. They can say, if you like, and by torturing themselves into pretzel shape, all right, this applies only to those who do accept the theory of evolution by natural selection, or who do understand a little bit of physics. They say, come to think of it, it does look as if we got here as primates after 99.8% of all the other species ever created on Earth became extinct. That only shows how clever God was to begin with. It's not much of an argument, is it? Actually, it doesn't really count as an argument at all. It isn't reasoning of any kind. It's a sort of reverse engineering. But it is, as is often said of hypocrisy, the compliment that vice pays to virtue. It's a tribute, in a sense, to the work that, had it been done earlier, would have meant there was no need for superstition in the first place. The same with the Big Bang. After all, it's an awesome cosmic event involving a great deal of heat and a great deal of light. In fact, Dinesh D'Souza, one of my best antagonists, a really believing, serious Catholic, does say in his new book, What's So Great About Christianity, a book that needs a question mark in its title but doesn't have one, that come to think of it, now we look at it again, Genesis, instead of negating the Big Bang, predicts it, because we used to laugh and say, how could God create light and only then the sun, the moon, and the stars? Well, the Big Bang answers that. So you see, it was always there all along, only we were too dumb to see it. Now, I agree with Dinesh that that's a nice try, but that's as generous as I'm prepared to be. No, what we have to do is grasp something right off and stop being in the least bit apologetic about it ourselves. It is often quasi-conceded, if I can put it like that, phrase it like that, that though religion may be metaphysically false, and not even really metaphorically true, when you think of those tortures about the Big Bang that I've just adumbrated, and its figures are those of legend and myth, and its miracles are fairy tales for scared children, and all of this, and that all this is now completely impossible to deny or to refute, but nonetheless, it has an ethical basis. These fairy tales at least teach children how to behave well. The beginning of the argument must be that we say this is not so, not so. We are not conceding this to the faithful. Is it moral, for example, to tell children, to tell anybody, that their sins can be forgiven them because of a human sacrifice in which they had no say, in which if they had had any childish say, they would have wanted to stop, wouldn't have wanted to see happen? That because of the hideous public torture and death of someone 2,000 years ago, that their personal responsibility is dissolved. All they need to do is to recognize the beauty of this human sacrifice, throw their sins on the scapegoat, and be forgiven them. That's a positively immoral doctrine in my submission. I could, if I wanted to, offer to pay your debts. I'm not gonna. But I could, if I liked you enough, I could do that. I could, if I really, really liked you enough, I suppose there's no system that allows it, but I could, there used to be in primitive society, I could offer to serve your term in prison for you, if I knew you and I believed in you. We know of cases, Charles Dickens' Tale of Two Cities is the most luminous, where someone will even take someone else's place on the scaffold. They'll do their suffering for them, they'll pay their debts, but they can't take away their responsibility. They can't say those sins never occurred. And it would be immoral to try. So at the very centerpiece of the main religion, at any rate in these United States, there is something that is positively wicked. We are not arguing. It's insulting for us to be made to argue that we might be less ethical or moral because we don't believe. It's not enough for us to say, hey, you can be a good person and be an atheist. Somebody at the convention of AAI the other day in Washington was quoted on television just before I was interviewed, that's why I saw it, saying, well, we're good people, we're just not God people. No, no, nice try. Get off the apologetic, get off the defensive. You can't be a good person and a God person. You can't be. Religion is the inculcation by coercion, not just of irrationality, but of immorality. What is moral about vicarious redemption, the horrible doctrine I just mentioned? What is moral about the mutilation of the genitals of children in the name of God? What is moral about that? The genital mutilation community is entirely theocratic. It should accept responsibility for what it advocates and not say it's teaching morality. What about the Muslim injunction that anyone wishing to change their religion to become an apostate must be killed? Is it moral teaching to say that people who have second thoughts about faith must suffer the death penalty? I hardly think so. Is it moral for Orthodox Jews to greet every lovely day with thanking their maker for not making them a woman or a Gentile, a goy? Is it moral for the women to have to say that we thank God for making us the way we are? Actually, that's not at least immoral, but there's something somewhat fatuous about it. I hope you'll agree. It's a form of sadomasochism, which, despite some of its advocates, I don't think is good for you in the long run. You're told, to begin with, that you are a worm, a sinful, guilty, shrunken, miserable creature who has, as we used to be made to say in Anglican school, no health in us. The Quran says made of a clot of blood. The Bible says dust. The Jews say, thank God at least you're not a goy. You begin with this abject masochism. You're told that you're responsible for sins that were committed before you were born that you couldn't have influenced, that your only chance is to take part in a barbaric ritual of torture and death if you were to be free of this inherited burden. It's almost worse than race theory. But just because no one can be that abject for so long or forever, there's a compensating offer. Well, the universe is designed with you in mind, and God has a plan for you. So from being a groveling worm and clump of blood clot or dust, you can go straight to saying, well, there's a divine scheme and it has me in mind, to the most arrant, the most solipsistic self-centeredness and arrogance. This is not morality. This is bound to lead to bad behavior, psychically, physically, socially, and it always has, and it always will.
There were 700 people in that audience, and you could have heard a pin drop. What a voice.
And what a vocabulary.
What a mind, and what a vocabulary. And that was Christopher Hitchens. I will treasure the fact that he once took my hand, kissed it, and said, dear lady. He was an honorary director of the Freedom From Religion Foundation. He died last week. We need to break. I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor. Who are you?
And I'm Dan Barker.
And we'll be back to play Merry Frickin' Christmas by South Park and talk a little bit more about the winter solstice.
The things that you're liable to read in the Bible, it ain't necessarily so. This is Free Thought Radio.
I'm Dan Barker.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor.
We've had some listeners ask us about the winter solstice statement, which we read on last week's show, and we have the statement posted at our website under our news section, and we reposted it so it's easier for you to find as FFRF's winter solstice statement. It's a December 22nd news release, but for your convenience, we'll read it once more, then end, then we'll play the radio expurgated version of the South Park's Merry You Know What Christmas. Now, Annie Laurie, you would like to, as Christopher Hitchens would say, you would like to adumbrate something here?
Yes. For a fact, the Christians stole Christmas. We don't mind sharing the season with them, but we don't like their pretense that it is the birthday of Jesus. It is the birthday of the unconquered Son, Deus Natalis Invicti Solis. Christmas is a relic of sun worship. For all of our major festivals, there were corresponding pagan festivals tied to natural events. We've been celebrating the winter solstice, this natural holiday, long before Christians crashed the party. For millennia, our ancestors in the Northern Hemisphere have greeted this seasonal event with festivals of light, gift exchanges, and seasonal gatherings. The winter solstice is the reason for the season. The winter solstice, December 22nd this year, heralded the symbolic rebirth of the sun, the lengthening of days, and the natural new year. We non-believers are quite willing to celebrate the fun parts of anybody's holidays. We just want to be spared the smults, the superstition, and the state-church entanglements. The customs of this year endure because they are pleasant customs. It's fun to hear from distant family and friends, to gather, to feast, to sing. Gifts, as the 19th century freethinker Robert Ingersoll once remarked, are evidences of friendship, of remembrance, of love. The evergreens displayed now as in centuries past flourish when all else seems dead, and are symbols, as is the returning sun, of enduring life. In celebrating the winter solstice, we celebrate reality.
Amen and amen. Now, we do know that there are some people this time of year who call this season Christmas. And if we do have to acknowledge Christmas, even on our show, let's do it the way that it was done on South Park. Now, we can't actually play the actual South Park episode because of the language in it. So I re-recorded my own version. It's called, the song is called Merry You Know What Christmas. I'm calling it Merry Frickin' Christmas. And by the way, kudos to the South Park creators for the continuing successful run of the Book of Mormon on Broadway. So now let's listen to my version of the South Park song, Merry Frickin' Christmas.
I heard there is no Christmas in the silly Middle East. No trees, no snow, no Santa Claus. They have different religious beliefs. They believe in Muhammad and not in our holiday. And so every December I go to the Middle East and say, hey there, Mr. Muslim, Merry frickin' Christmas. Put down that book, the Quran, and hear some holiday wishes. In case you haven't noticed, it's Jesus' birthday, so get off your heathen Muslim ass and frickin' celebrate. There is no holiday season in India, I've heard. They don't hang up their stockings, and that is just absurd. They've never read a Christmas story. They don't know what Rudolph is about. And that is why in December I'll go to India and shout, hey there, Mr. Hinduist, Merry frickin' Christmas. Drink eggnog and eat some beef and pass it to the missus. In case you haven't noticed, it's Jesus' birthday, so get off your heathen Hindu ass and frickin' celebrate. Now I heard that in Japan, everyone just lives in sin. They pray to several gods and put needles in their skin. On December 25th, all they do is eat a cake. And that is why I go to Japan and walk around and say, hey there, Mr. Shintoist, Merry frickin' Christmas. God is going to kick your ass, you infidelic pagan scum. In case you haven't noticed, there's festive things to do, so let's all rejoice for Jesus and Merry frickin' Christmas to you. On Christmas Day, I travel around the world and say, Taoists, Krishnas, Buddhists, and all you atheists too, Merry frackin' Christmas to you.
That was Dan Barker performing Trey Parker and Matt Stone's Merry You Know What Christmas. And what's so funny about that is that that's the kind of, we've been getting the unexpurgated version of that for like 2 weeks.
On our answering machines.
And the phones all day long, especially from Texas, swearing at us and screaming, Merry Christmas! And worse. So it's pretty amusing. I think they really caught something there. Billboards we've been putting up this month in Salt Lake City, New York City, even Brookville, Indiana. We've been censored in some places as well.
And we have an exciting new billboard, but we're not going to tell you what it is. It's going to be unveiled in a few weeks.
In time to talk about keeping religion out of politics.
Yeah.
We have an election year coming up, and we're a nonpartisan group, but boy, we sure get a lot of religion in politics at this time of year. And what else have we been doing? So much, our Out of the Closet campaign. We would urge you to go to our website, fffrf.org. Look up. We have lots of pictures showing main things that we're doing now on the homepage. But if you go to the news link, you can look for the news releases and take a look. It's dozens of news releases just in the last week.
And we can't even report them all.
Yeah, there's so much that we can't. We don't have time. Our staff is too small to generate enough press releases to tell you everything that we've been doing lately.
But we're making a difference.
We're making a difference. We have had a major victory in Pennsylvania. We've been putting up our counter displays around the country. We forgot to mention the Milwaukee County Courthouse that went up a week ago Friday.
With Ed Sustrich's
with
sign.
Our former officer putting that up to counter a nativity display that's been up for several years, thanks to Governor Scott Walker when he was county exec. And this is making a difference. It is time to make a difference. And
now,
so if you're not a member, we hope you'll join us.
Now, if you have already joined and donated, is there another charity that people could give to?
Well, you could support an atheist-started group, the Women's Medical Fund. My mother is the administrator of helping over 20,000 women in Wisconsin without means pay for abortions. Women's Medical Fund, P.O. Box 448, Madison, Wisconsin, I'm sorry, 248 Madison, Wisconsin, 53701.
Thank you for listening, and thank you, Dave, for producing and engineering the show here at the Progressive Talk, the Mic 92.1 in Madison, Wisconsin. Listeners, you can learn more by going to ffrf.org/radio.
And you can call 1-800-335-4021. Please tune in next week for the last Free Thought Radio of the year. It will be a special one, and have a merry winter solstice weekend.
Free Thought Radio is a production of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, FFRF.org. Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews brought to you by Annie Laurie Gaylor and Dan Barker. I hope someday.